The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland proudly present Where We Worship. This 30-minute, locally produced program highlights Northeast Ohio's Catholic parishes and institutions, their rich histories, and what they do to meet the spiritual needs of those they serve. Now here's your host, Bob Taya.
Welcome to Where We Worship, a program highlighting parishes and Catholic institutions throughout Northeast Ohio with the intention of offering you insight and understanding on the importance of community in our Catholic faith. Well, today, as we weather this COVID-19 pandemic, we are more than ever keenly aware of our parishes and the Catholic institutions and their importance in how we worship and develop our relationship with the Lord. And the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops best describes the parish as the place where the church lives. Parishes are communities of faith, of action, and of hope, and they are where the gospel is proclaimed and celebrated. Now, parishes are the home of the Christian community. They are the heart of the church. And why are they essential to our relationship with God? Well, one only needs to turn to Scripture. In his letter to the Hebrews, St. Paul writes, "We must consider how to rouse one another to live and do good works, and we should not stay away from our assembly, as is the custom of some, but encourage one another, and this all the more, as you see the day drawing near." Well, today on Where We Worship, we look at the rich history and social services, current ministries, and the people of Holy Rosary Parish in Cleveland's Little Italy neighborhood. The month of August, significant on the church calendar, since the 15th is the feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, body and soul, into heaven. For Clevelanders, the Feast of the Assumption, based at Holy Rosary Parish in Little Italy, is truly a wonderful tradition based around Holy Rosary Parish and the annual procession of the Madonna through the streets of the neighborhood. Sadly, there will be no procession this year due to the COVID-19 pandemic, but we thought it would be worthwhile to reflect upon this beautiful event in the hopes that, God willing, the tradition will return next year. And this is your host, Bob Tayak, joining me on Where We Worship to look at the history and the vibrancy of Holy Rosary Parish, Father Joe Previtt, the current pastor, and also, in order to respect COVID-19 protocols, joining us via telephone is Mr. Jimmy Malatesta. And just to give you a little perspective, he is the oldest parishioner at Holy Rosary Parish. He still attends Mass regularly, World War II vet, and Jimmy, 101 years old. Thanks for joining us, Jimmy. And let's get underway as Father Joe first. I couldn't help but notice immediately upon reviewing the history of the parish, even from its beginnings, Holy Rosary Parish began serving as the full embodiment of a parish, not only in attending to the spiritual needs of the growing Italian population who had migrated to Cleveland, but also as a social and educational center for the people. So give us a little insight. When was it established, Father?
The parish was established in 1892, so quite some time ago. We celebrated our 125th anniversary with a wonderful celebration several years ago, and we continue to grow and serve not only the needs of Little Italy, but the surrounding area of University Circle as well, as it has grown and expanded throughout the succeeding years.
And you had an Italian migration early on to that area of Cleveland. I think they were they working in what capacities?
Most of them were stonecutters. They were people who had very specific skills. A lot of them worked at Lakeview Cemetery. A lot of the people still do to this day. And so a lot of them migrated for that specific skill, that purpose, and brought with them a lot of the traditions that they found in their villages in Italy were from where they came.
Yeah, and that still is very true today. In that long history, I discovered that at least two of the pastors actually received high honors from the Italian government as he went through. Is that the case?
I believe so.
Yeah.
I don't know too much about that, but and I understand the Italian government certainly was wanting to watch Italians who were emigrating to the United States and making sure that they were well taken care of. And obviously they weren't in the early part of their coming over to the U.S., but certainly since that time, the church and the parishes were very instrumental in keeping the people together.
Yeah, they surely were. The other interesting aspect, I thought, is we always like to look at the role of women religious and mm-hmm. how they encountered a particular parish. And this was just struck me between the eyes as mm-hmm. far as relevance to this day. Mm-hmm. Women religious played a key role mm-hmm. During the current pandemic. Of course, they do, and we know that. But I think we can relate to the Notre Dame sisters who came to minister during the great influenza epidemic of 1918. That's how they were introduced to the parish?
I believe they were there at that time. We've also had the religious sisters Filippini there when Holy Rosary School was open, and they were serving there for many years and had their convent there. And they had a great influence on the people. The Notre Dame sisters were also there serving in different capacities. And when I got there, we had one of the elderly nuns serving as like a liaison into the community and just going to visit homes and visit the homebound and the sick. And it's been very good ministry for them and for us as well.
When I saw that they had first come in as an encounter with that whole influenza epidemic of 1918, mm-hmm. I thought, boy, it just strikes you that to see the role of the parish and then, of course, of the women religious in trying to assist everyone in that regard. And, well, you know, I know you and I witness it today as what sisters have been doing throughout this whole pandemic in trying to assist, particularly in many parishes and on the parish levels. Holy Rosary Parish in Cleveland's Little Italy and the Feast of the Assumption on Where We Worship on AM 1260 St. Peter the Rock. And coming up, we'll talk more about this wonderful, I'll call it institution, it truly is a Cleveland institution, there on Murray Hill and Mayfield Road in Cleveland, when we come back. You're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260 St. Peter the Rock Radio. This is your host, Bob Tayak. And our interview being conducted in studio, but also via special audio connection as we continue to observe the prudent communication practices during this COVID-19 pandemic. My guest from Holy Rosary Parish in Cleveland's Little Italy neighborhood, the pastor, Father Joe Previtt, and their longest-standing parishioner, now at 101 years old, Jimmy Malatesta. And let's jump in a little bit here. We'd like to hear from Jimmy. So let's talk about the Feast of the Assumption. As you're listening to this, it was celebrated on the church calendar on Saturday the 15th. Let's talk about the general public's attention to the Holy Rosary Parish at this time has often been elevated to a level that we don't get to see in other places. But just a reminder that the Immaculate Mother of God, the ever-Virgin Mary, having completed the course of her earthly life, was assumed body and soul into heavenly glory. In our Catholic faith and tradition, this is a holy day of obligation. And how did it take on such significance in Holy Rosary Parish? Well, that's what we'd like to find out. And Father Joe, I'll ask you, first of all, do you know a little bit about the history of when the feast got established, you know, in Little Italy?
The feast started in 1898, so a few years after the parish actually was began, and has been going every year since then. Of course, with COVID this year, we weren't able to hold what we normally do, which is very difficult for us to not have the feast, not have the procession, but we continue to give thanks and praise to God and to honor Blessed Mother as well.
And Jimmy, I got to ask you, as the oldest parishioner there at Holy Rosary Parish, you've got a great history and would like you to reflect a little bit about your own perceptions of the feast and the whole celebration, both spiritually and then, I guess, in the secular mode there in Little Italy. As you think way back, what are your fond recollections of the feast in Little Italy?
Nice. We had a procession and with the Knights of Columbus. I practically did everything, sell candles, worked with the selling tickets. I helped put the stands up for the feast, and I practically lived there. When I was little, I used to go to almost three masses. When I didn't get a chance to go to the mass that day, the Feast of the Assumption, I sort of missed it, you know, about families getting together and seeing visitors from all over come over. and spent time with us and all that.
You know, Jimmy, I know that you had reflected earlier to me in a conversation that, you know, it was a bit different in that you really had, were there a lot of different groups that were involved, from a spiritual standpoint?
Yeah, like a St. Anthony group, women got together and they marched. Another group called Liberator. There was other organizations that marched in the procession also.
Yeah, that was a very special time. My impression was that you processed through many of the streets of Little Italy, and the neighborhood would turn out, right?
Oh yeah. So many people, it ain't even funny. There were even big companies like May Company and Bailey Mills. They all contribute to having the feast up there, plus the church. And we had busloads coming in from different places, Sandusky, Ashtabula, all around Akron. They all come in for the feast when that day came.
I think you told me that as far as the celebration and all the other festivities, you had a lot of music, bands, and that sort of thing?
Yes. We had two bandstands, one on one street, one on another, and peddlers, you know, selling balloons and... They had stands with selling different stuff like cold cuts, presumed blankets, and selling balloons. And had the street all decorated with flags, you know, sort of an arch thing with lights on. Oh, it was real pretty, really nice. I kind of miss all that.
Jimmy, do you have any particular memory, either from your youth or any time during the feast, as far as anything unusual that occurred or exceptional?
There's so many memories that I just remember them all.
You remember them all?
No. When I was in the service, I kind of miss not being there.
Yeah, that makes sense. When you were in World War II, correct? So you were away during that time period.
Yeah, right. It was nice, you know. Not a lot of people that might have been there weren't there. Pretty hard to see what I'm trying to say.
No, that's fine. Father, the feast begins really with a very special mass each year, correct? If I remember, because I remember even back in the day, it would almost be a little political. You know, you'd have, but nevertheless, it begins with a special mass, right?
As it should. I mean, the first thing we do is give thanks to God, and no better way to do that than celebrate the Eucharist. You know, our primary and principal Mass is usually 10 a.m. that day on the 15th, and after that we celebrate and continue that prayer into the streets of Little Italy with the procession. According, of course, fortunately this year, it will be a lot different. No procession, Mass, but not open to the public. But we will continue to celebrate and continue to pray. Just offer our prayers for a different purpose this year that you know, God would hopefully bring a safe end to this pandemic that we're experiencing.
Amen. Yeah, the procession is something else, and I loved what Jimmy was telling us about the fact that there were even, if you will, secular commercial entities that would be at least participate or be a sponsor. We're not quite there anymore, but the procession still lives on pretty strongly, though, within the parish, right? I mean, the people really are supportive and want to make sure that happens in the great tradition.
No, absolutely. And there's nothing like coming out of that Mass and seeing the number of people on the street waiting for the procession to begin and trying to move them out of the way and get things situated and get moving. And based on how long it is in terms of number of people, and I'm usually walking behind the float of where our Blessed Mother is, and we pray the rosary throughout the procession. So we begin as soon as we start, and we pretty much end it when we get back, and we pray all four mysteries. And so so by the time that gets finished, it's hard to see the whole procession from beginning to end. But someone with some drone cameras showed me last year, so it was kind of neat to see how far they're on one street, and we're still on a whole different side street on the other side of Mayfield Road because it stretches that long.
Is that a challenge in this day and age, in this culture, Father, for you as a pastor to make sure that the spiritual elements of this feast and our Blessed Mother, you know, remain intact as opposed to just the carnival-like aspects?
Yes, it's a challenge, but it's also something that we put a lot of effort into. We spend time beforehand preparing for that. So what we've typically done in the last several years is have 40 hours of adoration before the Blessed Sacrament to prepare for the feast. So that usually would happen about the week before. We would do a 40-hour celebration. We invite parishioners to come in and pray for a successful feast, that it's prayerful, that people are evangelized as they come for the feast as well. We also have a communal penance service before the feast, prepare ourselves spiritually for that as part of the parish celebration. So we do a lot of preparing up front, praying to prepare ourselves to then celebrate the feast. And each day we pray the rosary each night at 6 p.m. in the piazza where our shrine is to the Blessed Mother. People can light a votive candle and pray before through Mary's intercession. And so there's other things we do throughout the feast to make it very prayerful.
That is very good. Coming up, Holy Rosary Parish in Cleveland's Little Italy neighborhood, and more on its current ministries, activities, and liturgies on Where We Worship on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock Radio. Listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio, and our focus for this August 2020 broadcast, Holy Rosary Parish in Cleveland's Little Italy neighborhood. I'm your host, Bob Tayak. My guests are Holy Rosary Pastor, Father Joe Previtt, and joining us via telephone, Jimmy Malatesta, who at 101 is the oldest parishioner at Holy Rosary Parish in Little Italy. And you just heard the sounds of the Holy Rosary Choir. Father, don't know Italian well enough to know that tune. And tell us what we heard.
Andro in Bello Di is a song that we play, or they sing each year at the Assumption Mass, and it's Mary going up to heaven is the refrain. So very beautiful as we end and go out of the church at the Assumption Mass each year.
I personally have always loved to hear your choir and so forth. Your director and who participates?
Our music director is Lorenzo Salvagni. He was actually born in Italy, and so brings a lot of that talent to us with that. And we have a number of people who are cantors who assist us at each Mass, and our choir, which is kind of on a hiatus now because of COVID as well, as you might imagine, but they're still active in some ways and keeping in touch.
Yeah, it's just beautiful, beautiful material they produce. Father, the parish today no longer serves just the Italian community, but as your mission statement indicates, you serve the spiritual and social needs of area students, artists, and professionals. I need you to explain that. That's a mouthful. You got a lot going on.
It is, and as I said before, because we're also situated in University Circle, and we serve as the worship center for Case Western Reserve, the Cleveland Institute of Art, the Cleveland Institute of Music. Obviously, you have University Hospital there. Cleveland Clinic's not very far away. So on any given day, you'll see people coming into church for Mass. May have a loved one in the hospital and someone having surgery, and they're there that weekend before surgery. And oftentimes I'll get a request, can you anoint me before I'm having surgery tomorrow? And so a lot of that comes up. We serve what's before us and all the people of God.
I also think, and I always appreciated this, in normal times, outside of COVID times, you would have, I believe, the latest Mass on a Sunday at Holy Rosary Parish. And I got the impression that was to serve that college community. But tell us a little bit about that.
It's the college community, but it's also the healthcare community. And as my understanding was, on Sunday, the shifts for healthcare workers would be a 12-hour shift from 7 to 7, so they'd have 8 o'clock Mass, so they could come to Mass after working that shift. And that goes back, I believe, to at least the late 60s or 70s when they began that 8 p.m. Mass. So it's been there quite a while. And we still get a lot of visitors.
And you do. And I just remember a couple of college kids in my family who would make it there. They particularly like that. And I don't want to say you gear it, but I mean, you know who your congregation is. And it always seemed to be well constructed to reach them. And I always appreciated that myself in seeing that. And tell us a little bit also about, I know you've got some other active and important ministries going on within the parish. Can you give us some insight?
Sure. We hope to get them back running full blast once we get past the pandemic. But of course, our, you know, our PSR program, utilizing Good Shepherd methodology, is something that a lot of people like to come to. And so we've had a lot of success with that. Some of our young families are beginning to just beginning to build a new ministry called La Familia with some of our younger married couples with younger children, as they're trying to get to the new ministry of outreach, and as well as getting together for social activities and evangelization efforts and doing some things on Sunday mornings between the masses for Bible study because people are there. We're not quite situated in where we're in the Little League neighborhood. A lot of our people are coming from outside there, so we try to do things for them while they're on campus.
Yeah, that's very good. Father, on a personal note, I wanted to mention the fact you're involved personally with a relatively new organization in the diocese, right? Mm-hmm. The Young Catholic Professionals?
Yes, YCP.
Tell us about that a little bit.
That's an organization started in Dallas, and they have chapters throughout the country. We have a Cleveland chapter here. The Cleveland chapter actually hosted the national convention of them a couple of years ago at St. Ignatius. And I serve as one of the chaplains, and it's been a great joy for me. And they have speakers usually every couple of months now on topics of interest to young Catholic professionals to witness for Christ but remain connected to their faith and bringing their faith to their workplaces and continuing to grow as people who in their spiritual lives as well. So we offer retreat days and things of that nature.
Oh, that's very good. You know, before we wrap up, I wanted to ask Jimmy. Jimmy, as you listen, any final thoughts you have on Holy Rosary Parish? In fact, what it's meant to you and during your life growing up there, now at 101, how do you think back about the parish?
The church meant to me quite a bit. If it wasn't for the church, I wouldn't be here today. I think the church means a lot to me. And Father Joe, too, right now, he's I wish him all the luck in the world. And I hope he gets to be higher than where he is in time.
Oh, so that's a
I'm not going to grow anymore, Jimmy.
Yeah, is that a vote for bishop? Is that what we're looking at?
No.
No, but that's...
Let's veto that.
No, thank you. Jimmy, thank you for joining us again as the oldest parishioner at Holy Rosary at 101. I understand from Father Joe, you're still active. You're there as a regular Mass attendee and communicant, and we thank you for joining us because it's a privilege to have you on the air with us. Thank you.
Thank you, too, sir.
All right, thanks. Well, you've been listening to Where We Worship. This is your host, Bob Tayak. This presentation featuring Holy Rosary Parish in Cleveland's Little Italy neighborhood. Where We Worship, a production of AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock Radio, focusing on the essential aspects of community worship and participation in our Catholic life, and is written in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 2. Prayer as a community is essential for our spiritual growth and personal well-being. God does not intend us to bear our crosses alone.
Thank you for listening to Where We Worship with host Bob Tayak, presented by AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. If you missed any part of today's show, listen to the program in its entirety by going to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.